This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar. Thanks for joining us. AM 950, 95.7 FM. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia, joined by Lance Lasowski of the Buffalo News, covering the Sabres. Lance, I was looking back at my notes. It's been a little over a month, I think, since we last had you on.
Wow.
And boy, things can change awful quick around here. I mean, we were in good spirits. We were talking about the great start that the Sabres had. And I don't want, look, it's not even Thanksgiving. I don't want to start hate watching this team. You know, what has gone on with the Buffalo Sabres here, generally speaking?
I guess we should have saw the writing on the wall. They were relying way too much on their power play the first couple of weeks of the season. And it was almost inevitable that it was going to dry up pretty quickly, right? It all started last month in Anaheim when the Ducks pretty clearly solved what the Sabres were doing and other teams took note, and you really haven't seen that adjustment be made successfully quite yet. And you know, they started to find their way at 5-on-5 the last couple of weeks, but they've been bad on the power play, they've been bad on the penalty kill, and they've gotten hit with some injuries recently. It's just that there are times during games where it seems like they find themselves, they find their game. You know, the formula is pretty simple. We know what they need to do to win. They need to get to the net, they create traffic, get some pucks into the net, and obviously defend well. This is different from last year, though, guys. I will note that. A lot of people are trying to draw parallels between this and what happened last November. The Sabres are defending much better under Ralph Kruger. The goaltending has been better, but it's just different issues that have popped up.
Well, one thing that people will zero in on, and this is true of any team, I guess, are the lines. And it's always debatable. And if you had a line that was working pretty well last year, Eichel and Skinner, do you give any credence to the thought that maybe they should at least consider putting the two guys back together here, Lance?
Now, the one thing with that line, they are really talented. We know what sort of chemistry they have with the puck. They couldn't defend worth a lick last year. They were terrible defensively, and that's not going to change. Victor Olofsson's been good. I mean, that first line has some chemistry. I thought they played fairly well last night. And let's face it, I mean, Jeff Skinner's, he's on pace for 40 goals, guys. That's something that's kind of gotten lost in the mix here after what he did last night against Carolina. So I don't really know if that's the problem. I think you're not getting enough contributions from the fourth line. And as much as, you know, Eichel's line with Sam and Victor Olofsson has, you know, they look good on paper, right? With Corsi, with shot attempts and whatnot, they're not producing enough, you know, and the Sabres need more out of Jack Eichel. They need more out of Sam Reinhart. I know that Sam produced over in Stockholm, but this needs to be a little bit more consistent.
Lance, Rasmus Asplund getting the call up from Rochester today. What do we know about this move, and what is it signaling for the Sabres?
So Johan Larson is day-to-day with an upper body injury. Ralph Kruger wouldn't say exactly when the injury occurred. Of course, Larson was in a bit of a mix, you know, a dust up with some Hurricanes players late in regulation last night. Looks like he took a puck off the, you know, off the skate. But since it's an upper body injury, not really sure how it happened. He's day to day. He'll be evaluated Saturday morning. Hasn't been ruled out. But if he's not good to go, Asplund will be the guy. And they needed a center who can win faceoffs, which of course Asplund can do. And Asplund could kill penalties. That's a guy who could step in on the PK, could really provide maybe sort of the shot in the arm that Curtis Lazar did Thursday against Carolina.
What are we seeing right now, or is it just magnified when it comes to your number one overall pick, and if you make a mistake, we're really going to zero in? Talking about Rasmus Dahlin, is this just what we should expect out of second-year player, or is there maybe a physical problem, a high EIQ problem? What are your thoughts just in general here on what we're seeing out of the second-year player, Rasmus Dahlin?
I think it's a 19-year-old who's learning a new system under a new coach and is trying to sort of find that balance between – he's trying to learn that he doesn't have to make an incredible play every shift, okay? This is a guy that throughout his junior career and even in the Swedish Hockey League he always had the puck on his stick, and that's not the case in the National Hockey League, and it never will be. So it's all about picking your spots, when to join the rush, when you can take risks. You know, it's risk versus reward, and he's learning that, because when you make a mistake in the National Hockey League, it's going to be an odd man rush the other way, and the other team is more likely to score. And he's been much better the last couple of games. I think a big part of that is playing with a guy like Brandon Montour, who has the speed, who has the skill set to maybe help make up for some of Dahlin's mishaps. And I think Rasmus is just one of these things. It's a tough part of the year, still part of that transition. I think he'll be fine. I think you're starting to see that, just that they need to get more production out of him offensively 5-on-5. You know, he's good on the power play, but they need to see that same confidence with the puck at even strength.
Lance, we saw some flashes early in the season with Casey Mittelstadt, and now you've got fans saying, "Well, you should have started in Rochester from the very beginning. He doesn't belong at this level." What? All right. So somewhere in between is probably where Mittelstadt's, you know, actually going to end up. What about Mittelstadt's development so far this year? What are you seeing out of his play?
Started really strong. He had a really nice start to the year, in my opinion. He was winning a lot of faceoffs. He was very competent defensively. I think the problem as of late, which has led to lesser ice time, is the defensive play. He's regressed in some respects. Now, it's going to happen. It's a long season. He needs to adjust. He needs to find the answer. But, you know, they need him to really step up right now, okay? Marcus Johansson's going to be out the rest of the week. Not sure what his availability will be like next week when they've got, what, three games? So it's time for Casey Mittelstadt to show that he can take on more responsibility. I think he'll be fine, guys. I think that naturally people are panicking, but the kid's only 20 years old. He turns 21 next week. It's going to take time. He's not going to be that 20-goal scorer, especially as a center in the National Hockey League. So you're seeing signs here or there. It's a young player growing. I think, well, let's face it, a lot of responsibility was put on his shoulders probably too soon. He probably wasn't ready for it last year. So I'm very curious to see how he handles this latest bout of adversity.
Lance Osowski, Buffalo News, our guest. Lance, I had someone close to the organization tell me that after the Sweden trip will be likely the time that Chris Taylor will come back, and so glad I didn't report that, because obviously that did not happen. Are we getting our coach back here in Rochester anytime soon?
I think eventually. It's one of those things. I mean, Don Granato, by all accounts, is still involved, giving his input, you know, to Ralph Kruger, but this is a situation where they're probably going to be very cautious. They're not going to rush Don Granato back. This is a very serious situation with pneumonia. I mean, he was hospitalized. His brother, Tony Granato, told the paper up in Madison, Wisconsin, that, you know, Don was going to be hospitalized probably for a while. Now, it really has been mentioned. I haven't seen Don Granato around. You know, it's likely he's out of the hospital now, but we'll see. Maybe after Thanksgiving, maybe after the holidays. I think eventually Chris Taylor will go back. Now it's just a matter of when.
Lance, we're looking at the schedule here. We got the Senators tomorrow, the Blackhawks Sunday, and the Wild on Tuesday. These are three very winnable games for the Buffalo Sabres. Is it time for these guys to get off the schneid? I mean, if they can't get some points out of these three games, I mean, are we officially in full-blown panic mode if we're not already?
They need to get wins over at least Ottawa and Minnesota. Those are two bad hockey teams right now. And you need to see more offense, and you need to see them piece together a 60-minute performance. It's been a while since the Sabres have put together a complete game. Now, Chicago's going to be a tough game. It's not an easy place to play. The Sabres have struggled there notoriously, you know, a lot over the, you know, last decade or so. And the Blackhawks are actually starting to play well under Jeremy Colliton. So it should be an interesting matchup there. But you need to see some offense, and the longer the Sabres sort of struggle in that regard, or struggle to piece together consistent performance, I'm starting to wonder when Tage Thompson's going to be in Buffalo, because he's doing all the things down in Rochester that the Sabres need. You know, he's creating traffic in front of the net. He's using his size to really be a presence out there. He's improved defensively, so it's going to come to the time. And, you know, a lot of fans are talking about trade, trade, trade. Before I make any sort of trade, I'm bringing up Tage Thompson to see what I have there.
Coming up Sunday night, it's going to be, well, you can almost guess one of the storylines, a time to revisit the Joki Aro-Nylander trade. Early returns on this trade. Did the Sabres win it? Your thoughts on Joki Aro, what you've seen so far here from the Sabre defenseman?
It's pretty interesting. In case you guys missed it, I went to Pittsburgh last week, actually, and I caught up with Alex Nylander and talked to him about his progress, and things have changed significantly even since our conversation. I mean, Nylander's been benched. He looked like he was going to be a healthy scratch. And he's sort of in the doghouse at the moment because he's just been bad defensively. And he's doing the same things with Chicago that he did in Rochester. Meanwhile, Henry Yokiaru has been arguably the Sabres' most consistent defenseman. He scored again. He has as many goals this season as Nylander does. And Henry Yokiaru is not playing on a line with Jonathan Toews and, you know, Brandon Saad. So excellent trade by Jason Botterill. I know that it created a log jam on defense that has really created some angst among the fans who want Jason Botterill to make a trade for the sake of making a trade. But you know, this kid's only 20, 21 years old, you know, and he's much better defensively than they anticipated. So that has to be, in my opinion, the best move the Sabres made during the offseason.
Lance, speaking of this, fans wanting the Sabres to make a trade, and the name that always comes up is, of course, Rasmus Ristolainen. And in watching last night's game specifically, what I liked about Ristolainen's game is he seemed to be the only Sabre on the ice last night with any sort of physical presence. So, you know, playing with a little bit of an edge, knocking Sebastian Aho, you know, down and mixing it up. I mean, you know, it always feels to me like the Sabres are never the aggressors in those situations, that they're not really dictating the physicality of any given game, with the exception from time to time of Ristolainen. Am I seeing that wrong, or is that fairly accurate?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the reasons why they missed Zach Bogosian, and it's one of the reasons why they brought up Curtis Lazar. I mean, Lazar was another player last night against the Hurricanes who was a physical presence, who was getting under the skin of Hurricanes players with some of the physicality that he brought to the table. And that's, again, a reason why I wouldn't be as ready to trade Ristolainen as everybody else. I mean, the guy's playing well. I can't really find a huge flaw in Ristolainen's game, although a lot of, you know, the analytics show that he's sort of the same player. You're not seeing those coverage mishaps that led to goals last season. He's been much better, and he's taking on big minutes. You know, of course, you want to see more out of him maybe offensively, but as long as he's been that sort of presence, the Sabres need it because they can't get pushed around like they did in Anaheim last month. And the Hurricanes sort of tried to do the same thing last night, in my opinion.
I'm glad you brought up Bogosian because I wanted to get to that. What's your best guess here as far as a timeline? And, I mean, to get him back, you have that physical presence. It's a logjam. I can't imagine that, you know, Lawrence Pilot will have to do something special here in Rochester. You have Miller. I mean, how do they manage through all these extra bodies now all of a sudden up in Buffalo when Bogosian comes back?
Well, I think Bogosian's hopeful that he can come back sometime next week. Now, we'll see. I know the Sabres are going to be cautious. They're treating these practices sort of as a training camp because it's one thing to be skating with, you know, the rehab and development coach, Dennis Miller. It's another to be in full-on practices, like a structured team practice. So I think they'll be cautious, and you're right. I mean, when he comes back, that's when you're starting to think trade, because if you try to move John Gilmore down to Rochester, he's getting claimed on waivers. I would be shocked if he ended up clearing, and you don't want to just give up a guy like that. And, you know, again, when you look at the forward situation, maybe you need to use one of these assets to get a forward. That said, I'm not trading Ristolainen. Of course, I'm not trading Montour, Dahlin, or Yokiharju. So you're looking at maybe Marco Scandella, who's played well. Maybe, you know, maybe they can move Jake McCabe, although he has an A on his chest. So we'll see. It's not going to be easy to trade Zach Bogosian if that's an option people are talking about, because let's face it, he hasn't played a game yet this season.
And Lance, since you brought him up earlier, you know, you bring up Tage Thompson and everything that he's done so far this season here in Rochester. Not that I want to see Tage Thompson go up to Buffalo at the expense of the Amherst success, but man, when we talked to him in the preseason, both Gene and I could tell this guy's got a chip on his shoulder and he wants back. He wants back in a bad way, and this might have been the best thing for him to play in Rochester for a little bit. Well, what will it take? Will it be an injury situation, or will it just be some, you know, recognition that, hey, Thompson might be better than some of these guys that we got playing minutes here in Buffalo?
I couldn't agree with you more, just his attitude. And I saw it back in development camp when he was getting asked about the St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup. He handled it like a professional, and he put in all the work in the offseason to put himself in a really good position to make the team. It's really going to take the right type of forward to go down, okay? Sabocco's more of a checking line guy. They needed somebody who was defensively responsible, who could win faceoffs. So they bring up Lazar, all right? And, you know, you bring up Asplund because you need another center. It's going to have to be a winger who's skilled to really give Tage Thompson that opportunity, or perhaps they just need some offense. Because, you know, as long as he continues on this sort of upward trend in his game, he's going to force their hand to bring them up. So really, the ball's in Tage Thompson's court. As long as he continues to make progress and shows that he can be a two-way player in the NHL and stops trying to beat guys with just his stick handling, he's going to be a really good NHL player, in my opinion.
Well, I, for my own selfish purposes, Sunday night, I want to see Robin Lehner against the Sabre team. Did anybody comment? I'm sure you saw it. Robin Lehner, for some reason, felt the need to go back to his thoughts on the Buffalo defense there. This is going back a couple of weeks, but you brought up how the goaltending has been better this year for Buffalo. Is that just a product of the system that's ahead of the Sabres right now, or was there something specific that maybe Hutton did this offseason?
Absolutely. I think it's a little bit of both. And I'm really, it's not as much Hutton as it is Linus Ullmark. Linus has been really spectacular this year. Now, if you take away that one blip in Washington where there was really nothing he can do about the goals that the Capitals scored that night, he's been outstanding. Entering the game last night, the Sabres were seventh in the league in 5-on-5 save percentage. That's a huge improvement from last year. And a lot of it's structure. Okay. The Sabres are giving their goaltenders a chance. You're not seeing the odd man rushes that plagued this team during even the winning streak last year. Okay, it's better structure. They're allowing their goalies to actually see the shots coming at them. They're clearing traffic in front of the net. It's really just a team effort, guys. And I think that was the one thing last year that people sort of overlooked during all the losing. They wanted to blame the goaltending. And yeah, there are times, you know, I think every goalie in the league wants a save back here or there. They want a goal back here or there. But these guys have been a lot more consistent, and that's the reason why in the offseason you heard Jason Botterill give them a complete vote of confidence, because he sort of knew, right? I mean, he's got talented goaltenders, and that team actually defends well. They give them a chance.
Lance, you're always gracious with your time to join us here in the Sports Bar and keep us updated on the Sabres. Let our listeners know what you're working on for the Buffalo News.
Absolutely, guys. No, tomorrow night is actually Hockey Fights Cancer night for the Sabres. Of course, every team in the National Hockey League has at least one game in November where they, you know, raise funds and awareness for cancer patients. So I actually did a story that is going online shortly about, you know, they had two children at practice today who, got to meet the team. And Linus Ullmark actually got his mask painted lavender, you know, in honor of cancer patients for Hockey Night, Hockey Fights Cancer. So that's a nice one. And I'm doing another one actually tomorrow next week on Brandon Montour. So pretty excited about that.
Wow. That's refreshing. Good news in this sarcastic world that we live in.
Some perspective for those guys. You can tell they've been frustrated lately, losing six in a row. And I think just seeing those kids and spending time with them sort of opened their eyes to, you know, what what real problems are.
Lance, do us a favor, too. Just needle your colleague over there at the news a little bit. Just needle Harrington and just, you know, if he says something that you kind of like look at him sideways, just, okay, Boomer. And just say, leave it at that. He's having some fun today.
Yeah, all right. I'll do my best.
Have a great weekend, Lance. Talk to you again soon.
You too, gentlemen. Thanks again.
Lance Lasowski, the Buffalo News. Buffalo Sabres update. Yep. He's the best. He's like on call. Like, we got a question for the Sabres. Let's get Lance.
Lance is our guy.
He's our guy.
Yeah, what you brought up, Mike Harrington last night, felt the need to, why is it that everybody says, okay, Boomer, to me? I don't know what that means. Oh, no. Floodgates open. And, you know, and Harrington is one that he'll let things go. He'll let things roll off his back, and no, quite the opposite.
No.
So that was just some amusement last night as well.
Well, I mean, I hope he's taking it in stride. He got flooded. I just flooded with OK Boomer. Let's get to NFL appetizers next. It's by so the, ridiculous, it by is, the way. What are we doing?
I love being sitting in this Gen X kind of, grab my popcorn and...
I'm already bored with it, being the Gen Xer that I am. It sucks. I'm bored with it.
Yeah, we're lazy. Yeah. We don't, yeah.
NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar. It's a look around the NFL, the top stories of the day in bite-sized form. Is there anything going on in the NFL today?
Punishment. Yeah. We'll tell you who got what if you hadn't already heard. Oh, yes, there's a tryout. We'll tell you the latest on who's showing up for the Kaepernick thing in Atlanta, who is not starting a quarterback this week. We'll make sure your fantasy lineup is set. And Philadelphia fortifying the running back position.
Well, It's all brought to you by Alex's Place. NFL appetizers next. Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We go around the NFL, serve up the day's top stories in bite-sized form. Stand by for NFL appetizers. Amherst hockey tonight, Gino. 7 o'clock. You can hear coverage starting here on ESPN Rochester. Don will have the call just after 7 o'clock. Don Stevens with the call just after 7 o'clock as Cleveland is in the in town at the Blue Cross Arena.
Yeah, and it is brought to you in part by Wilbert's U-Pull-It. If you're having trouble selling your car online, will your truck not pass inspection? Sell it to Wilbert's. Call Wilbert's U-Pull-It at 315-589-2222. Visit them online at WUPI.com or stop in 4936 State Route 104 in Williamson. And get cash for your car, truck, van, or SUV today.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis, and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.